Good morning and welcome to the Albany Report. It's November and I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend and a nice Halloween. And I know I did. It was great to see so many kids out and about. Today we are going to be talking about women farmers, and we're going to highlight a really great program called Annie's Project. And to help me do that, I have some fantastic guests from Cornell Cooperative Extension. They are agricultural educators. We have in the studio with us David Cox, who is the Schoharie and Otsego agricultural educator. And we also have in the studio with me Steve Hadcock, who is from right here in Greene and Columbia County, the agricultural educator. So welcome, guys.
Thank you. Hi, Cece.
Thank you.
And then joining us in a few minutes will be Elizabeth Higgins from Ulster County, and we'll be highlighting Annie's project and talking about that. So I'm really excited about our guests and this topic. But first, I have a couple announcements. One, I want to thank everyone for supporting WGXC during our most recent fund drive. It is over. It ended early because of the support out there. So thank you to all of those folks who contributed during the fund drive, because your support keeps radio programs like the Albany Report on the air. And we really appreciate that support. Tomorrow is Election Day. So I really want to encourage people to get out there and vote. Make a plan. Decide, I'm going to go before work or after work, or I'm going to wait till the kids are home and go with them, which is a great experience for the kids. Please, whatever you do, find the time to vote. We have some terrific candidates who are running. Many came on our station, even on our program here on the Albany Report, to talk about why they're running. So let's thank them for running and actually vote for someone. So don't let someone else decide who your elected leaders should be. You decide. So please take the time to vote tomorrow. And I want to make sure that people learn about a couple announcements the governor made last week that have to do with farmers and agriculture and farmland protection. Last week, the governor announced that a new farmer grant program and the New York State Young Farmers Loan Forgiveness Program applications are available. There is going to be $1 million in funding to help new farmers begin farming careers or agricultural careers. You can the grant for new farmers provides up to 50% of total project funds. You can get a minimum of $15,000 or up to a maximum of $50,000, and it has to be matched 50% by the recipient. Eligible project costs include the purchase of farm machinery, supplies and equipment, construction or improvement of farm buildings. This is being administered by the Empire State Development Agency in consultation with New York State's Ag Markets Agency. New York farmers have to be in the first 10 years of farm production, and the farm has to be 150 acres or less. And if you want to find out more about that program, you can go to this link, New York NY Farm Fund at esd.ny.gov. And I'll put the link up on the Albany Report Facebook page. Also announced with that funding application was the New York State Young Farmers Loan Forgiveness Incentive Program, which encourages new college graduates to pursue farming careers in the state. And you can get that. That program is available through the New York State Higher Education Services Corporation. It provides loan forgiveness awards to individuals who obtain an undergraduate degree from an approved New York State college or university, and they have plans to operate a farm in New York State on a full-time basis for 5 years. And it was in its first year of funding last year, I believe, and it provided 10 awards to eligible farmers. The application deadline for that is December the 1st. So those are two programs that are out there for young farmers. I just want folks to know about them and take advantage of them. Also last week, we're very excited about this, the governor and Ag and Markets Commissioner Richard Ball announced the application for funding for farmland protection in the Hudson Valley. The New York State Department of Ag and Markets has available funding for a program they're calling the Hudson Valley Agricultural Enhancement Program. This provided $20 million. This was decided in the last, in this year's budget process with the governor and New York State legislature signed off on. And it's specifically to support farmland preservation efforts in the Hudson Valley. And for those of you who are wondering, well, what is the Hudson Valley? These are the counties that would be eligible for to take advantage of that $20 million. Albany, Columbia, Dutchess, Greene, Orange, Putnam, Rensselaer, Rockland, Saratoga, Schenectady, Sullivan, Ulster, Washington, and Westchester. So farmland preservation funding through the Hudson Valley Agricultural Enhancement Program would be available to farms in those counties. Eligible applicants for the funding are counties which have a state-approved agricultural and farmland protection plan, or municipalities that have adopted a local farmland protection plan, or soil and water conservation districts, or a not-for-profit conservation organization, typically known as a land trust. They have to actually apply for the funding for the farm. And just another note, this grant opportunity will only provide funding to projects that result in perpetual conservation easement. And the purchase, so that means the purchase of development rights or transfer of development rights or the donation of the development rights. These are the types of funding that, these are the type of projects that would be eligible for this funding. Proposals must be submitted by January 29th, 2016. So you can find out more about these funding proposals or applications at the Ag and Markets website. And I'll also put a link on the Albany Report Facebook page. So these are fairly new funding sources. And even if you're thinking, oh, I'm never going to get it, this isn't, you know, just apply. Because one of the things that you're doing when you're applying, even if you don't get funded, you're showing that there's a demand for these types of resources. And, you know, one of the reasons why projects start out at smaller funding levels is you have to see, is there a demand for this? So get in an application and participate, and you will help expand these types of programs in future budgets. So we are going to take a little music break. I'm going to play a song by Nancy Griffith called Trouble in the Fields. And she's from Texas, and this was a song that she wrote and sang, and she's one of my favorite artists, about the difficulty and how hard it is to be successful at farming. And then there's just a lot of love and passion, and I think hearing a woman's voice talking about farming and how they love the land is a good segue into our conversation this morning about Annie's project. So here's Nancy Griffith, Trouble in the Fields. And then we'll be right back with Liz Higgins.
Out in these empty fields enemy in the photos on every page. Now our children live in the city and they rest upon our shoulders. They never want the rain to fall or the weather to get cold.
That was Nancy Griffith, Trouble in the Fields, one of my favorite artists. And I'm here in the studio with some folks from Cornell Cooperative Extension. I have with me here in the studio David Cox, who is the agricultural educator for Schoharie and Otsego counties. Thank you, David, for making the trek down here to Hudson.
Thank you.
Also in the studio with me is Steve Hadcock from right here in Hudson. And you're representing Columbia and Greene counties.
Right. And actually, I represent five counties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are the other counties?
Albany, Schenectady, and Washington counties.
Awesome. And joining us via Skype is Elizabeth Higgins, who is in Ulster County. But Elizabeth, do you represent more than Ulster County?
No, I cover Ulster County, although I work with collaborators like Steve and Dave in other counties. So we frequently do multi-regional, you know, multi-county programs.
Well, as someone who grew up on a dairy farm and was heavily involved in 4-H, I know that, you know, we relied on cooperative extension heavily whenever there was an issue or technical assistance or, you know, leadership programming for kids. Cooperative extension was always there, and I have to give my hats off to you guys because I think you've helped so many farms be successful in so many ways. And the education component of what you do is also important, not just for the farms, but for kids and the nutrition information and helping folks process food, for example. So you're on the cutting edge of what's changing in the farming community, and you're often probably one of the folks new farmers call when they're looking for information or assistance or need troubles that they have to try to figure out how to resolve. So thank you for taking the time to be on our show. And we wanted to talk about Annie's Project. So what is Annie's Project and how did it get started? And who'd like to answer that question?
I'll take that one.
Awesome. David.
Annie's Project started over 10 years ago in the Midwest by Ruth Hamilton, who was at the time at a University of Illinois cooperative extension agent for over 30 years. Am I close enough? And in farm business management. And she took the experience of her mother, Ann Fleck, who had lost her husband early and found herself managing a farm a lot sooner than she ever expected, and dove into it and did it. And so this experience was impressed Ruth quite a bit. And so she, and plus her experience at the University of Illinois, prompted her to begin a program for women in farming. And she took that from scratch and worked heavily with the University of Iowa and built a team there, which is really has been over the years an outstanding team, to take Annie's Project to 33 states, and I believe the latest headcount is well over 12,000 women in farming have been impacted somehow by participating in Annie's Project. On ourselves amongst them.
So, Steve, what is it exactly that women are doing with Annie's Project?
What they're doing is Annie's Project is based upon the five risk major risk areas that USDA has identified, and David or Liz may have to help me. Financial, human, legal, marketing, and production. I think I got them. Yay.
You got them.
Yay.
You got them.
Okay. So recognizing that farm women, many have a lot of strengths and talents that they bring as a spouse or as a partner in a farm business, but all of us may have some need for additional development of our skills and our knowledge about various aspects. Traditionally on many farms, the female spouse was the bookkeeper and was had an understanding of the financial aspect of the farm, but not necessarily maybe some other areas that were critical to farm management. So Annie's project really is developed to help kind of bridge those gaps, at least start the process of bridging those gaps for farm women to understand the other aspects that they need to be aware of to be to enhance and be a key partner in the farm business.
So Liz, Annie's project is a training program for women. Are you seeing more women farmers these days? Can you help us with some statistics?
Yeah, actually, there are an increasing number of women in farms. It's interesting, in Ulster County, for example, about, I think, a quarter of the principal operators are women. We've got about 480 farms, and 100 of them have women principal operators.
Wow.
So it's a pretty high percentage. In general, the women-owned farms tend to be on the smaller side, less than 50 acres. But they, in Ulster County, they've got a market value of over $2 million
wow.
in product sold. So they're a significant part of our economy. And if you look at New York State, women farmers, principal operators contribute $200 million in sales.
When you see new farmers getting involved, are you seeing more women these days than you have in the past?
I would say it's hard to know whether we see more or we see a lot, although I think that women maybe are quick to call and ask for help.
Yes.
So we see, so maybe somewhat selection bias, but, a lot of the calls that I get for people that are looking to start farms or who are beginning farmers are definitely women.
I saw
some groups of women.
I saw some head shaking in the affirmative here in the studio. Do you guys want to add to that? Are you seeing more women as beginning farmers these days?
I think it's half or three quarters of the inquiries I get for starting farm are from women. Agreeing with Liz that maybe it's that women are either find extension or asking for help potentially, but. And also, I think that even in businesses that are where there's more than one partner in the business, the women are an active part of that business with men as well.
Yeah, and I think in transitions also, if you have a husband and wife team and there's a divorce or a spouse dies and the woman who is left wants to take over and keep the farm, that can be quite challenging just getting through the transition of that ownership model. Do you see women farmers needing help in that area? Is that something that you touch on in Annie's project?
I think that's true for all businesses. We talk about the three D's when we're talking about farm succession and transfer, divorce, disagreement, and disability or disease, and that any farm transition, whoever is the makeup of the key principals, should be keeping those in mind so that if the goal or the vision is for the farm to or the farm, the business to continue and sustain itself, then those need to be addressed. And yes, I think women are taking much more of an active role and part in that. And we are addressing that in a lot of different ways. One way is that we will be offering Managing Today and Tomorrow here in New York State for the first time, which is under the Annie's Project umbrella.
So Managing Today and Tomorrow, what does that mean? Liz, can you help us?
Oh, yeah. It's so Annie's project sort of is the fundamentals of business management. Managing for today and tomorrow is really taking a business and from its inception or wherever you are in sort of the stage, thinking about how you want that business to grow and ultimately to transfer. So Steve talked about the five principles of risk management. Managing for today and tomorrow sort of has four key principles. Planning for succession, especially early.
Mm-hmm.
Business planning, really like looking at where you are in your business stage and planning for either growth or for transition. Estate planning, which I think is often the thing that most people think about, but they don't think about the other factors. And then retirement planning, you know, actually figuring out what you want to do with yourself as you phase out. You know, they find that a lot of people retire, but then they don't really, they haven't planned for retirement and they find that they're kind of at loose ends. Or they haven't planned for the financial aspects. And I think that's complicated with business transfer. So that's where managing today and tomorrow is sort of that next step in the business planning process.
So what's happening with Annie's project here in New York State?
Well, we are in the middle of our second grant from the Northeast Extension Risk Management Program to take managing for today and tomorrow, what we call MTT for short, and saving time, to take it statewide to our colleagues around the state to, because there's a training involved. And once they have that, which we've had, there's 13 counties will be hosting this curriculum. It's just one of two curriculums of Annie's project between now and April of 2016. So I can't tell you how that's going to work out. I hope it does work out, but nevertheless, the piece you're looking at is a summary of the original, what we call the Annie's Classic, which is the risk management education curriculum.
Okay.
That Steve named the five components of risk management. And that is how we started. We have evolved into transition planning because, of course, its importance is phenomenal at this
sure.
point. But we did start with the risk management program. We started with two counties and then my colleague Bonnie Collins in Oneida County. And then we went to four, and then I think I even went to eight. I can't remember. Two to four to eight or something. But then we got our first grant was, again, to go state to take that program statewide so that with our colleagues so they could essentially put that on at any time
okay.
once they've been trained. And so we did that one in 2014 in almost a simulcast. I don't know how it worked out, but it did work. With 13 counties, and we reached 144 women in farming, and I like to say farm families, frankly, because the news doesn't stop there. The
sure.
The news continues, or the news or the information continues with Annie's project participants.
So people come together at one location, and you have a group of women who are going through this curriculum. How is it set up? Like, are we going to see an Annie's project here in this area?
Well, we hope to. We're starting one soon here in Hudson, potentially, if we get enough participants. So, yeah, and I think one of the key things, Annie's project, not only are the women developing, gaining skills and knowledge, but they also are developing their own network as well, which is another key part.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've talked to people who've participated, and one of the really big important key factors of it is the collaboration and coming together of women. I think women like to collaborate and talk to each other and talk through issues, and a lot of times you're feeling isolated with these problems, and Annie's project brings a group of women together who are, you know, maybe going through the same types of issues, and you can learn from each other and share information and develop friendships and as you said, networking. So typically, what's the size of a class, and when is yours planning to start here in Hudson?
David can answer a size question, but we're hopefully starting this Thursday
oh, okay.
in here in Hudson.
A typical size, class size has been anywhere between 10 and, ideally, between 10 and 15. You can do more, but you really don't want to get too much larger. You want to have just enough so that everyone can really get to know each other well.
Sure.
Because, yes, the networking is very important part of it.
Do
and
you,
we build in time for that, too, so that it's intentionally in the curriculum. So there's literally time to network.
So if someone is interested in the Andy's project that hopefully will start this Thursday, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, Steve, I'm going to let Steve answer that because he has one in particular going on, and then from there I can answer the question about MTT.
Right. They can call our administrative assistant, Tove Ford, at 518-765-3518.
And you're going to say that again slowly.
Okay. It's Tove Ford, and her phone number is 518-765-3518.
And that's the Cornell Cooperative Extension Office in Columbia County.
Actually, it's Albany County.
Albany County.
Since I'm a regional person, my administrative assistant's in Albany County.
Okay. And where will the class...
It'll be at the Extension Office here in Hudson.
Okay.
On 479 Route 66, Hudson, New York.
And how long are the classes? And how often?
We're doing the classes themselves are about 3 hours or 3.5 hours. We're providing dinner, and then we'll have our class, and they're for 6 weeks.
And is there a cost?
Yes, it's $75.
And that includes dinner?
That includes dinner.
And that's for the entire 6 week program?
That's correct.
That's a good deal. Is it local food that you serve at the dinners?
No, unfortunately not. It's something that, as an extension educator, we try to to get ready fairly quickly.
Okay.
Well, but the pressure is building.
Yeah.
So, Liz, are there any Andy's projects being planned in the Ulster County area?
Not in the short run. I'm working with Steve and Dave to offer the managing for today and tomorrow, sort of the phase two this winter. And so that's really more what we're getting geared up for. We are offering other farm business classes that are certainly open. I've got one on Monday on choosing a farm business structure. But the formal program, I think, this year we're going to focus on managing today and tomorrow.
Okay.
Cece, if I may add,
yes.
There's two. For the risk management curriculum, right at the moment there are three counties that are putting on the risk management curriculum, Broome County, Madison County, and Columbia County, Steve County, Columbia Green, excuse me. More will certainly take place, but our focus between now and then, because there's a lot of work involved in putting these together, is going to be the MTT program coming up between now and April.
And I would like to say, like any woman, when I had the Annie's project last winter, I had women from Columbia County. I mean, women in Ulster County or Dutchess County are more than welcome, in fact, encouraged to take these classes. It's a great way to meet women, you know, sort of in your region. So, you can take a class that's in another county.
Yeah, that's a good. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, we don't have county lines in that regard. Our borders are open, wide open, because we want as many participants as a reasonably our course will handle.
Is there any specific type of farming and business that you're seeing participating more? Like, are they dairy farmers, vegetable farmers, new farmers?
I hate to give the depends answer, but it depends on geographically where you are. So in Madison County, for example, they haven't had an Annie's Project curriculum yet until just now. So the room is mostly filled with dairy farm families, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Over this way and down where Liz is and Steve and myself, even in Schoharie, an hour west of here, it's diversified farms. There are some dairy, but mostly smaller diversified farms.
And are there any stipulations, like you have to be a farmer, or do you check their credentials?
That's a good question. Yes. Is the short answer. We do get, on occasion, some new farmers that just, I want to take the course. And you can't really say no. And I haven't said no, unless it's pretty obvious they really don't have a clue what's going on. But no, for the most part, they're pretty much have farm backgrounds and experience, but on occasion we do get a participant who is not as experienced, but we take them.
Or even somebody that's still exploring farming. I taught Annie's project in 2014 and had one woman who was thinking about starting a farm. And as David said, we want to get women that are farming to enhance their skills. But this woman really appreciated the course because it helped opened her eyes to what it really meant to manage a farm business, and she found it very useful.
Could you give us an example of what you might learn in one of those training classes or something that you would go over?
To the risk management?
Yes.
Well, one thing is insurance. We have an insurance agent that will come in and talk about – now, women may understand and fully appreciate what insurance they need.
Yeah,
for their
farm. I don't understand that at all.
Okay, so we have insurance.
I would appreciate that class.
We have an insurance agent that comes in and talks about the base. What are the different parts and policies and so on, and why do you need to be insured and so on and so forth. We talk about communication and conflict resolution. We go over the financials. We have a very good presentation, and then some templates of that are pretty simple and get you started so that you can start to develop financial statements. You may work with an organization that does that for you, but unless they're sitting down and taking time to explain to you what they're doing for you on your behalf because you've borrowed money from them, they you don't understand and don't maybe know how to use those as a management tool.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because being able to read a financial statement is really important, and there's information you should be getting from your accounting folks if someone else is doing it, and being able to read and assess what that looks like and what that's telling you so you can use the data. Liz?
One of the things that we covered under the human capital is I had somebody from the Department of Labor come in and really help these farmers understand what they would need to do to be a farm employer, what the regulations were, what resources there were at the state to support them, to help mm-hmm. them navigate the process. And they found that very helpful. Most of them were completely unaware that there were like ag labor specialists within the state.
That's great. So, and I think the other thing that you're doing when you do that is connect these participants with a resource that they can mm-hmm. follow up with later on if they have questions or issues they need
to resolve. That is another key component of the curriculum is we really are, we emphasize bringing in our community professionals, frankly, or area professionals so that the chances of them continuing with this with our participants is very good. And so that's a very important part.
Could you just go over again, where are the areas where an Annie's Project training program is happening now, what counties? And then, you know, if someone isn't near one of those counties, if they want to encourage an Annie's Project to take place in their area, what would they do? So you mentioned Broome.
Well, right now, it's ongoing right now. Madison okay. County and Broome County have an ongoing class,
so you can't just jump in.
No,
at
it's
those.
Not a good idea.
Got
you,
it.
You really need to be there from day one.
Sure.
And Steve is about to have a class here. We hope, right, Steve?
Right.
We got a plug here for thank you for pushing this, but more will come for the risk management curriculum. I suspect. And partially, as Liz was talking about, she's doing a farm business management class. Steve also has one, so forth. In fact, you're on the air on your WebEx tonight.
I'm doing an online course for QuickBooks right now.
Yeah.
I need to take that.
There you go.
Tell me about that webinar on QuickBooks.
Well, the Cornell Small Farms Program coordinates and handles online courses for beginning farmers. It could really for anyone. But they're focused and targeted for beginning farmers.
Because I'm an old farmer and I need to take that class.
But as David mentioned, Bonnie Collins' name came up before. She and I are co-teaching this online course for on QuickBooks. Unfortunately, it's already started. We're all actually starting to wind down now.
Oh, okay.
But we'll probably, I know Steve usually offers it again in the winter, and I know I'll probably offer QuickBooks.
Right, and that's a face-to-face class, or that'll be an in-person class that we'll offer.
There's a lot that's going on education-wise all the time with Cornell Cooperative Extension. Right. How do people keep on your email list, or how do you get information out to share with folks so that in the future when you are doing your webinar on QuickBooks, I will get in on day one. So how do I keep track of what's out there? Because you're doing this in Hudson. I don't live in Hudson, but I'd be able to participate through the webcast.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Liz, you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say one thing that's kind of an improvement is many of the counties, at least the ones in our region, have standardized their websites and really improved the events portions of our calendar. So I think for most counties, if you put in the county name .cce.cornell.org, I'm pretty sure, Tori, you actually will get to that county's website. And I know in our county, and I think many of the other ones, if there's a nearby program that we're not offering that's relevant, we do try to also include those on our events calendar. You can get on our mailing list and you'll get deluged with emails. So that's always an option too. And I'm sure the regional programs I know are very good about getting information out.
Is that the same in?
Yes, it does vary a little bit around the state, but for the most part, Liz is right, the websites have greatly improved. A whole bunch of counties bought into a new design, so to speak, and they share it. You can share it all, and many of them are really quite comprehensive. So if you're in an area where you know which, or you can find out what your Cooperative Extension Association is, because that's what they are, just Google it and go
so
for it.
So I'll just Google Schoharie Cooperative Extension.
You can do that. That's
I would
correct.
Get your website.
Yes, you would.
And there would be the events listing.
There would.
Is that, that's what
would
I would
be
look
current
for.
Events and other resources listed all over the site, yes.
Now, because you're the coordinator for Annie's project here mm-hmm. in New York State, is there a specific email list, mailing list for Annie's project or people interested in Annie's project? Or
Yes. There's two things. For the risk management, plus I don't mind drawing attention to the National Annie's Project website, which is simply anniesproject.org. That'll take you right to it. And if you go to programs by state, go to New York, and you'll see the three that I just discussed.
Okay, great.
Those were listed. We will have MTT listed once we frankly get through our in-service this week and we're all kind of on the same page and everyone has said when they're going to host and so forth. People are trying to schedule accordingly and we will post all of those as well on the national site, but we're not relying on the national site for people to find out what we're about in the MTT transition program. What we have set up is a web page at Cooperative Extension in Oneida County. And without going through a long address, if you go to Oneida, you know, they come up easily with a Google, but Oneida, cceoneida.com. And if you go to the agricultural banner, I'm not sure I said the right word. Well, never mind. And then you'll see Annie's project link in there. And what that link does is it summarizes this program here that I'm showing you and the MTT Farm Transition Planning, and it lists all of the counties that are hosting this curriculum between now and next April.
Okay.
And that's how you find them. So you do have to call it. There's not a hyperlink there. That got complex. And so some people have websites, don't.
Right.
Some don't. So we put all the contact information in there with a human being to answer the phone and so forth. And so if you find one of that is appropriate for you, make that call.
Okay. Liz, you were going to...
I was going to say also very recently, Cornell Cooperative Extension, the system, improved their website. And they are starting also on one place put together a lot of the events around the state. So I just went really quickly and like Steve's Annie's project is listed on that site. So if you just go to cce.cornell.edu, so it's the statewide site, and you look at the bottom under events, you can see extension programming around the entire state of New York.
Okay, super.
And this will be up.
And it's getting better.
Yeah, and this will be up shortly. It's not there yet, but it will be up shortly after we meet this week.
And I see the Facebook moniker. So is there an Annie's Project Facebook page now?
Yes.
Or is that in process?
I'm not the best Facebooker in the world, but yes, we certainly do, because it's the name of the game these days for reaching out to your audience. So yes, there we do have some activity on Facebook, yes.
So your MTT, Managing for Today and Tomorrow, curriculum program that you've been talking about under farm transition planning, is this, do you have to do the other Annie's Project program first?
No.
This is, okay. So
that's why we're trying to, they started out calling it level one and level two, and then we realized that's not a good idea because
right.
The national site did, because then people will say, well, gee, do I have to take the level one first? And yeah, it's a good idea, but no, you don't have to.
Okay.
So that's why we changed the titles and encouraged them to just get rid of one and two.
So anyone, you don't have to have attended an...
Correct.
Anyone can participate in the Farm Transition Planning, Managing for Today and Tomorrow curriculum. And is that what you're teaching here in Hudson?
No, we're doing the Annie's Project, quote-unquote classic, which is the...
I like that, the classic.
Yes. Classic Coke, no.
Risk management.
Yeah, risk management.
Got it. And those five, is it four or five?
Five areas.
Five areas that you're going to cover under risk management in your class starting on Thursday, which I really encourage folks to take advantage of,
I'm getting a cheat sheet, which is great. It's financial, human, resource, legal, market, and production.
Very cool. So how many, if you don't get enough participants, do you end up canceling?
We will. We will cancel. You know, there's always an opportunity.
Postpone is a better word.
Yeah, postpone. We'll hang on to the names and see if we can't. We'll keep thinking about it, and thinking about plugging it at another time.
Okay, but people can still register.
Right.
It's not too late. And the cost is $75.
Correct.
For a six-week program, once a week.
Right. And we are taking the week of Thanksgiving week. We're breaking that week.
I hope so.
Yes, we are. And then we're going to start up December 3rd.
So, and they're Thursday evenings?
That's correct.
And they will be taking place where again?
At 479 Route 66, Hudson, New York.
And if someone wants to get in on this program, it starts this Thursday, who do they call?
They call Tove Ford, 518-765-3518.
Super. We wanted to make sure we got that in. And if we do archive the show, so I'll encourage folks on my Facebook page, The Albany Report, to listen to. And if you want to share it with folks, you can, just send them the link and they can hear the whole program that we're recording right now. And it's a way to get the information out to folks who might not be listening.
Sure.
At the moment. So we'll have that link available by the end of the day. And you can certainly share that with folks. So what else is going on in cooperative extension world that you guys would like to share with our listeners? Liz, you want to start? What's going on in Ulster County besides your busy schedule?
So, well, we've got a couple of things coming up. On next Monday, we're having a class. We're having David Riffenbaugh from Farm Credit East and I will be doing a program on choosing a farm business structure. So really thinking about, like, what would be a good business, or do you want to be a sole proprietor or an LLC or a corporation, to help you understand the ramifications of different choices, both from a starting position, but also as the business might mature. I get a lot of questions about being a nonprofit farm. And so, like, sort of the pluses and minuses, or when might it make sense to consider being a 501c3 or not.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a pumpkin variety trial in the region. There is the Harvesting Opportunities Conference in New York. That's American Farmland Trust is putting on in Albany on Wednesday. And that's a conference for people who are really interested in farmland transfer. If you want to learn more about land trusts, if you want to find out more about that new program, the program that's available for doing conservation easements on farmland.
Right, that was the program that was announced last week by the governor. There's $20 million available
right.
for farmland conservation easements. And so if you want to find out more about that, that's a good conference to go
that's
to.
That's a good conference. And actually, it's my understanding that the state, if you're not in the Hudson Valley region, that the state will be announcing a statewide conservation easement, farmland conservation easement program pretty soon also.
Right. There is a statewide program. But there was additional money put in specifically for the Hudson Valley because of development concerns and pressures.
So if you're not in those counties, you still have time to prepare and put a request in.
Right.
So anyway, those are things that are coming up in the next week or so that I think might be interesting.
Sounds great. How about in Schoharie and Albany and Greene and Columbia counties?
I wear an agritourism hat, actually, quite a bit, and we have a big event, Family Farm Day. We had our third year, and this year we're going to expand to include Otsego County because that's really part of my responsibility anyway. And so I'm gearing up to you can't start too soon planning these events, and it'll be August 13th next year. But we're all there's a whole group of us that from each county, the chamber people and the tourism people and extension people and other ag service providers who will be planning this thing, I hope, to the letter and getting it to work well. It's worked well the last 3 years, and it brings a lot of attention to farms that participate each year, and it's really a great opportunity for fams. It's sort of a double entendre to Family Farm Day. It's family farms and families visiting family farms. So,
yeah, that's a lot of fun. Well. I see the signs up for Family Farm Day. And so if you're a farm that wants to participate in that, you need to work with you now and get on
the
list.
We'll be certainly notifying them and early on so that they can have plenty of time to think about it and plan. It does help to, if they don't have experience with it, they can certainly have, on November 14th, the Farmers Museum is having an agritourism conference, or I should say a conference that focuses on agritourism, and that will help someone with agritourism 101, for example.
Okay, what is your definition of agritourism?
Agritourism, in this definition, is having the public on your farm. That's what we're talking about in that regard. And it's not for everyone. It really is for those who want to have the public on your farm. It's not easy at times. And,
right.
But the days that I'm talking about here, or this day anyway, happens to be also quite lucrative for the farms. People come and they do
and
buy
they
local products.
They sell products on
yes,
the farm.
Yes, they do, and in a big way, and they take them home, and they're all prepared. And we prepare them in essence.
Yeah, I think that's a great time because I think there's a lot of curiosity in what it's like to be on the farm, and if there's a specific day where you're welcomed on the farm. I know I have people just stop by and say, oh, can I come see the sheep? And you might be in the middle of something. It may not be convenient. And this way you're announcing our doors are open.
That's
come
right.
visit and see what farming's all about. And I think that's
right. They've tried
great.
That other method, sort of open door in the past, and it really was inconvenient. So this is a special day designated for that. And the farms that participate, they're very good at this. And so it really, and the public loves it. It's a great educational experience.
Steve, do you have the open Family Farm Day in Greene and Albany counties as well?
We don't. I also cover Washington County, but what they have up there is in the spring they have a fiber tour, and then in the fall they have a cheese tour. And again, you're visiting, in the spring you're visiting sheep, alpaca, Angora goat, Angora rabbit farms. Basically any farm that has a fiber animal on it, they open up if they wish to and visit. In the fall, it's artisan cheesemakers. Generally that are farmers that are making their own cheeses, that they open up and have that.
Great way to learn about those productions.
Right, exactly. I participated, went to the Fiber Tour last spring, and they really do a great job of educating the public about what it means to have a fiber animal, and clearly many of them had their fiber products for sale as well.
Yep.
And as David said, it you know, can be potentially lucrative for them.
And it's also, you also visit the mill,
right,
Bat-N-Kill Fiber,
right,
and you see the fiber getting processed into yarn and how involved that is and what that takes. And
exactly. Yeah.
Well, anything else you guys would like to share with our audience before we sign off?
Just a couple things. One is once again, plug the Cornell Small Farms program we're getting it geared up. We're currently started our fall season. We offer online courses throughout the fall and winter. So you can go to Cornell's Small Farms. If you Google that, you'll be able to find it and find a link to go to the online courses. The other thing I'd like to plug is that in New York State, we started last year doing a beef farm business summary. We did it for 2013, 2014. It's growing slowly, but we really could use more beef producers that are interested in learning about their financial position of their business to contact their local cooperative extension office and talk to one of us to see about maybe getting signed up and starting the process to get a financial analysis of your beef business.
That's a great idea. So you offer that free?
Yes.
Awesome.
Right.
And for farmers who are interested in raising beef for profit, can they participate?
Well, I mean, that's a little bit different aspect. If you're starting out raising beef, absolutely. You know, here in Eastern New York and in Schoharie County area, we have a caveat of extension educators that can help you analyze or figure out is beef the right enterprise for you or not. And give you some guidance as to what kind of infrastructure and what are some of the costs in getting started with in the beef business would be. We have, you know, for those that are in the livestock or beef industry now, we certainly have educators that can help on the technical side and the production side, but also on the business management side.
Do you talk about grass-fed versus conventional?
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. And actually, I think next year will be our 8th annual Winter Green Up, which is focused solely on grass-fed production of livestock. It's not only beef cattle, but it can be sheep, dairy cattle. We've had speakers on all kinds of species.
And where is that taking place?
That'll be at the Century House in Latham.
I've been there. That's an awesome conference.
Yeah.
And do you have the dates for that one?
It's the first weekend in February, I believe, this year. Or for 2016.
In Latham.
In Latham, yep.
Anything else you want to add, Liz?
No, I think Steve covered it. I'll put another plug in for the Winter Greenup Conference, though. I know that my staff have attended and say that it's an excellent, excellent conference.
Yeah, you really understand what's going on in your pastures, what needs to go on, and make sure that you're managing the fields and the animals appropriately to get the best benefit to the animals and to the final product, so without damaging the land. So
right.
I think it's an awesome
program. Beef is a hot topic. And,
yes, it
we're
is.
We're starting a group called the Central New York Beef Producers for the same reason.
Wow. All right. Well, I want to thank my guests for being on the show today, David Cox, Steve Haddock, and Elizabeth Higgins. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with farmers out there and for coming into the studio today to talk about Annie's project and Cornell Cooperative Extension. Thank you all very much for the wonderful work that you're doing. And hopefully we will get some more folks coming to your Annie's project workshops. I might be signing up for it. And we're going to listen to a final song by Emily Lou Harris called Born to Run. And I thought it was a great song to end with because not only is it the day before election, but women farmers out there, you know, are very strong and resilient. And I just thought that this was a good song to be playing right before election, and to give a shout out to all the women farmers out there who are making great products and supporting great farms.